Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Trace Kerr.
And I'm Amy Barton, and this is everything you never knew you wanted to know about wrinkly brains.
Oh, hey, you know what's good for protecting wrinkly brains? Helmets. So I need to know because you texted me last night.
Yes.
A limey helmet. And I was like, yeah. Is that a brand? How dumb am I?
No, I just like that color, like safety green is what I'm really talking about, is one of my favorite colors. And it's not actually quite fashionable now that the 80s and the fluorescence has gone. And so any chance I get to wear safety green, I absolutely do. And so I'm like, I want that limey helmet.
So now I've somehow gotten into motorcycle TikTok. And so I'm seeing a lot of people in matching leathers, helmet combos, yeah. And... So are you on your moped in bright green leather? Please tell me yes.
Well, if I'm scootering, I'm a little bit lazy about my gear, to be honest, because I'm probably up around my side of town. And so I'm sneaking through the neighborhood. So I'm cuter on my scooter. I actually, if I can wear like a long flowy cardigan so that I feel like I have a cape on, that is ideal. Although of late, I've talked myself into more like 30 miles an hour on a scooter versus 30 miles an hour on a motorcycle. My body is going to do the same thing if it hits the road. So a cardigan isn't really appropriate. So
you could put a cardigan over your leather outfit.
That would be eccentric. Okay. I live on the south side of Spokane, and there is a man with a motorcycle and a sidecar and a dog and a gorilla suit. And all of those things go out together, riding the neighborhood. I've seen him numerous times in the evening. He'll cruise around the park, wave to the kids, the dogs in the sidecar. He stops and chats, and he just seems to be a guy in a gorilla suit, just enjoying the evening.
I'm so... Yeah. That's disturbing and charming at the same time.
It's quirky. See,
he's like a clown. You're like, I don't know. Is this funny or dangerous?
He mostly gives off a friendly vibe because he tends to chat up adults and not lone children. So that's good. Yeah, he just seems to be like the ice cream truck and the gorilla man are out prowling the neighborhoods.
Next time you see him at a light. So what do you do exactly?
We might be able to find out if I were motivated enough to look it up. I like the mystery.
That's true.
I don't know.
That's true. No, see, we need to be like my dad at one time when we would have conversations about things and you're like, I don't know. Like you just said, there's a newspaper thing. And I just go to Google. I grab out my phone and he's like, remember when we all just used to have a discussion about it and then we'd move on? I don't understand why you're all so obsessed with just knowing. And I'm like, are you serious right now?
It's funny. Anyway, back to our regularly scheduled brain junk.
Wrinkly brains.
Yes.
The joke in our house when you're having a dumb moment is that your brain was washed with dryer sheets. There are no wrinkles left in it.
See, now that was my thought too. I'm like, oh, I probably want to have a really wrinkly brain. And the actual answer is you want the right amount of wrinkles and the right amount of depth. Because I thought the same thing, because I was always jealous in school of the kids that would go to the highly capable program. And I got tested but didn't get to go. And so I always have these. Maybe my brain is just not wrinkly enough.
No, that's not true.
No. The real thing with the wrinkly brains is too many wrinkles and disordered wrinkles is a problem. You want a nice thin layer and you want an ordered pattern of your wrinkles. And I had no idea. I thought more is better. So let's talk about who did this study. Researchers at the University of California in San Diego School of Medicine and Ratty Children's Institute for Genomic Research.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Ratty?
Maybe it's Rady, R-A-D-Y. What do you think?
Rady? Oh, well, it could be either way. I just thought, I heard in my head ratty, like R-A-T-T-Y, and I was wow, some Raggedy Children's Institute. Okay, I got
ratty
it.
Ratty genomic medicine. No, the number of letters in the title of this institute probably means it's well-founded because they're willing to put a lot of letters on a building. That's my theory. So it was led by senior study author Joseph Gleason, MD, who's a professor and a research fellow, and he's got all sorts of titles. And first author Lu Wang, who was a PhD postdoctoral fellow in the Gleason lab. And they discovered why some people have more brain folds than others, and the condition that affects that normal brain development that's called polymicrogyria.
Ooh.
So brain diseases and brain problems, just any of that that falls into the, you loop back around, pediatric.
I was like, where'd she go?
I was thinking, I'm pausing so you can cut me off. Okay, pediatric brain disease. We know so much about certain things now, and we can say this is what's happening when a seizure occurs, and this is what's happening. But the whys are still often unknown, and how do we treat this accurately? So a consortium, an international consortium of researchers called the Neurogenetics Consortium, I'm going to say consortium one more time, performed genomic analysis on nearly 10,000 families with those pediatric brain diseases over the course of 10 years to look for new causes, to identify new things. And so Gleason and Wang and the UC San Diego team took that data and figured out a piece of one of the puzzles. So let's talk about brain parts before we get deep into the weeds, because it's been a while for me. So the cerebral cortex is what we're talking about, the wrinkly outer layer of your brain.
Okay.
It lays on top of your cerebrum, the rest of that, and it's composed of more than 10 billion cells and 100 trillion plus connections, and it's just 5 millimeters thick. How many is a millimeter?
It's tiny. It's teeny weeny, Americans.
I know. Can we compare it to a slice of cheese? It's 0.039 of an inch. That's very small for 1 millimeter.
I think you could say that a millimeter, it's like half of the side-on of a slice of Kraft singles.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because 5 millimeters is 0.196 of an inch.
Yeah, super skinny.
Yeah, so that it's not a thick part of your brain. So that's what we're looking at. And those peaks are called gyri, and the fissures are called sulci. And I don't think we'll visit that much again, but just keep it in mind.
Sounded fancy.
Yeah. So we've got that wrinkly surface that is our memory and thinking and learning and reasoning. All of those things happen in that 0.19 of an inch.
Really small, really thin.
Yeah. The folding is called gyrification, which sounds exciting. And it's crucial for that brain function and circuitry. It's why we have greater cognitive abilities than apes and elephants, for instance, who have some folds, and rats and mice, no folds. Smooth. Smooth as a baby's bottom. So that was an interesting thing. We're foldier than, so in that, it's better for us to have more folds.
Okay.
Yeah. So the team of scientists discovered some people have more than others, and it's thicker too, which is also a problem. And that's where we get back to that. I told you, I threw out my big term, poly. I've thrown out lots of big terms today, and I'm proud. In a reasonably cohesive fashion so far.
Oh no, now you've done it.
I was just going to say, we're so good, let's knock. Okay, polymicrogyria. It comes in many forms. And so this study narrowed down one form, but it's a localized or widespread cortical thickening detectable on brain scans. So too many gyri are piled up on top of each other, and it results in that abnormally thick cortex, which leads to lots of different kinds of things like developmental delay, intellectual disability, speech difficulties, and seizures, epileptic seizures. So until recently, these are all just things that avenues they've studied. They haven't always looked at, is there a genetic cause for some of these? And so now, as we have more knowledge and ability to examine genetic factors, scientists are looking at, is there a genetic cause to this? And they're finding that, yes, this particular polymicrogyria and certain narrower versions of it do have a genetic component. And so now they can study that and potentially figure out ways to treat it, mitigate it.
Huh.
This is exciting stuff, everybody. So our team in San Diego collaborated with the Human Genetics and Genome Research Institute in Cairo, and they had a database of 10,000 families affected by some kind of pediatric brain disease. So thank goodness the internet is kind of a time suck and a dump of terrible things at times, but there's also wonderful things where we get these wonderful databases of information now. And this is one of those moments. That study found 4 families with nearly identical forms of PMG. So they all had the same mutation in one gene that produced this PMG.
That's the
polymicrogyria. Yep, that's the problem.
Got it.
And they found that problem narrowed down the causes this one gene. And it has a very exciting name, transmembrane protein 161B.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So TMEM161B. It's found in most fetal brain cells. And so that part is normal, but the mutation is the problem. Also, little weird side fact is that TMEM161B is from a family of proteins that first appeared, evolutionarily speaking, in sponges, which are also very, they have a structure, but no brain. So
I was like, wait. So the thing that makes coral all, like, I'm thinking of like brain coral specifically, right? That's all knobbly and wibbly and everything, might also be the same thing that tells the brain, hey, you need to fold. What even is science anymore? I can't even.
When I read that, I'm like, oh, I thought we were closely related to apes, but brain development is sponges. Okay. But that's really important. And that's actually, we're right on track to talk about. So you just led me right into that way that as your brain in utero develops, it's important that that cortex develops in a structured way because it's communicating. And so if you have this hodgepodge and things are going all different directions and it's too thick, it's messing up that communication pathway. So that is what that mutation of the TMEM161B seems to be doing. It disrupts that structured development. So the cells usually are developed from the apex of the cortex, and they extend radially downwards toward the bottom layer of cortical tissue. So like, I feel like that's forehead down to the back of your neck.
Okay.
And it's very orderly, and it's a scaffolding system. It supports the migration of other newly formed cells as the cortex expands. So that's important to have an orderly structure. But with a mutated TMEM161B, the radioglial fibers lose their sense of direction.
Oh, so it's just making, like, instead of a nice orderly ladder, there's extra branches and there's some down steps. And so the cells are like, I guess we build over here too. I don't know.
Huh? Exactly. Yes. So they did an experiment with using stem cells from the patients that had this mutation, and they generated little organoids, like tiny tissue replicas. These are petri dish organoids, and the organoids made from patient cells were highly disorganized and showed those disrupted radial glial fibers, which I don't know if I talked about yet. Those are embryonic neural stem cells that produce neuroblasts and provide fibers that act as a scaffold. So they're the scaffold for neuroblast migration during embryonic development. There are so many components to get a functional person. It's amazing.
Right? That's the thing that always, so many things, you know, when you look at a new person, a really new person, how?
Yes, it's incredible. And it feels like, why are we so surprised that there's neurodivergence in a certain point in our society that we're seeing like a little burst of it, it seems like.
So. Well, yeah. Although I don't think we're seeing a burst. It's like we're
just identifying things that happen.
Yeah. Or we're also recognizing that the things that some people are, I think people who are like, the scaffolding got jiggled just a little bit, right? And so it's a little messier, have learned how to not show that it's messier.
Yes.
Right. They're masking. And then I think people went through the pandemic and they were like, you know what? That's exhausting. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yes. And society can find a place for me. And Yeah.
This is just how I am. I collect my rocks and I think weird thoughts, and you can just live with that.
Yeah. And it's like the Nunn study for Alzheimer's. Our brains are pretty amazing. The Nunn study is one that they did on the brains of nuns after they had died. And they found that some had significant damage to their brain from Alzheimer's, but the presentation and cognitive abilities of those nuns during life did not display the level of damage that they found afterward. And those active brains found different pathways and solved problems.
Huh.
So brains are amazing. And if you're a neurobiologist and I messed this up, please be gentle if you're emailing. This was a lot of brain words, but it's very fascinating. Like, that initial structure is crucial to smooth transportation of all that activity that does all those things for us that we just assume is going to happen.
Huh. Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, build the foundation right, house stays up.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So now that they have some of this genetic information, they can also look like, that's one narrow lane, like out of 10,000 families, that was four families that had right. that. So now they can start looking for other instances and looking for ways to help families better.
Well, and it might be that even if it's not genetic, I mean, if it's 10,000 yes. families, it could be environmental. It could be yes. the chemicals that you're, you know, it could be smoking. It could be, you know,
right.
We've got the thing where it's, you are affected by, I was an egg inside my mom mm-hmm. when anything yeah. she experienced, I experienced as an egg. And then I might be passing what was environmental damage 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 100
yes,
years ago.
Yes, exactly.
Who knows where? Yeah, well, I have a whole family of people with weird folded brains. So,
of course, they're studying more. They will learn more. They're going to trawl those databases.
And when we're done here today, you're going to go get that helmet to protect that
That's
brain.
Right. To protect that cerebral cortex. Because I don't think that structure's rebuilding if it gets squashed. So.
No, it's really not. Oh, that's so interesting. Because what I'm going to talk about, never mind. We'll get to that later. Okay. Never mind. Moving on. Do you have anything else that you wanted to say about the wrinkliness of brains?
No, I'm glad it's wrinkly at an appropriate level. At a functional level, I am grateful for the lack of disruption in my life because my brain wrinkles are reasonably within spec. So,
oh, that's what I'm going to say from now on. I'm not going to say sprinkling of autism, sprinkling of ADHD. I'm going to say my brain is reasonably within spec.
Yeah, I'm slightly out of spec here, but it's not a big problem. It just shimmies a little.
Plus or minus zero, minus one. It's fine. It's
yes,
fine.
Exactly. I didn't enjoy statistics in college, and part of me is a little bummed because I didn't get the math part, but I love the power of statistics and, like, I'm one standard deviation and blah, 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 you know, I'm plus one, minus one.
Yeah, I got a little greater and lesser symbol with that equal thing underneath. Good. Yeah. It's good times. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I don't have any reviews to read, people. I had someone tell me they listen to us on Spotify. You can't leave reviews on Spotify, which makes me cry.
Oh, bummer.
Makes me sad. So if you listen to us on something that doesn't allow you to leave reviews, could you please, I don't know, just sneak on over to Apple or somebody and leave a little review? Because I'd love to read it.
Yeah.
If you're not interested in leaving reviews because it's just not cool or it's not that specific wrinkle in your brain, that's fine. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Oh, and we're on Amazon Music now. So
yeah. You
can listen to us over there. But no matter where you listen, like and subscribe if you can. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored.